Hello, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Washin' Word. The Washin' Word is a car washing business. We do hand car washing right here in Churchill. We're located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. And my wife, Victoria, and me, Matthew, we run and own the operation there. The ministry part of this business is what you're listening to right now. We broadcast verse-by-verse Bible teaching sermons. We do them here on this radio station at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. And, you know, we continue in a verse-by-verse format. So wherever we leave off the day before, we pick it up the next day. Also, these messages and others that you'll hear this week on this radio station will be broadcast on 107.1 FM in the Washin' Word parking lot only. So if you miss any of these, you want to hear them again, you just come by the parking lot, put your radio on 107.1 FM, and these messages play on a loop all day long while we are open. Now, we're going to continue in the Gospel of John. We just finished chapter 3. We spent the entire week last week talking about Jesus and Nicodemus and the great story that we learn through the teaching that Jesus does to Nicodemus. And I encourage you to go back and listen to those. You can do that by going to our website at washinword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you'll find information about the business, and all of these messages are archived. So, picking it up, we are going to go ahead and begin in chapter 4. And this is another pretty well publicized and famous section of scripture where Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. And when we look at the woman at the well, we learn two things. One, this is a little comical, but we learn that Jesus is the only man who can truly understand a woman. That's one thing that these scriptures certainly tell us. But on a more serious note, the second thing we learn is that in Christ, racial and prejudiced borders come crashing down like the Berlin Wall. And while even today some people will cross the street to avoid social contact with certain people, the same was said about the Jews in this day. They would literally travel twice as long on a road twice as hard just to avoid Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans were mortal enemies, essentially. But not when Jesus is involved. Jesus leaves where he was with Nicodemus, we'll read in a second, and he travels right through the heart of Samaria. Now, chapter 4 is 54 verses long. We'll probably take most of the week to get this done. So I do encourage you to come back again at 8:30 tomorrow to listen and to follow along. The way we can break this down is there's really two sections to this 54 verse long chapter. The first half, 26 verses, is the theological part, while the second half is more narrative in nature. Now, I could read the entire first 26 verses, and we could gain much insight as we reiterate and break this scripture down, but God showed me something a long time ago, and this is exactly why I do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, which, incidentally, is getting more and more rare to find. My wife and I spent years and years up and down from Knoxville to the Tri-Cities area looking for verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and it's, again, very hard to find. So this is the calling God laid on my life. But getting back to the scripture, this is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because the Bible speaks of God's love as a whole. Each book speaks of God's love as a piece. Each chapter speaks of God's love individually, and each verse speaks of God's love personally. And so whether we talk about the whole Bible, or individual books, or chapters, or verses, we can always make a beeline to the cross, the ultimate expression of God's love. I mentioned this several teachings ago. When we talk about verse-by-verse Bible teaching, as we talked about in John chapter 1, you know, Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh. So when you say verse-by-verse, we're really saying Jesus-by-Jesus, because he is found on every single verse in every single chapter of every book in this Bible. So we do Jesus-by-Jesus Bible teaching. The broad scope of his Word, or the minute detail of a verse all speaks of God's love, all speak of Jesus. And so as we go through this chapter, we're going to use the cross as a fueling station. We're going to take the abstract verses as we read them, and we're going to pull into the cross, as it were, like a pit stop. And then, having been fueled or energized or anointed, then we'll drive them into our lives in application. So, let's go on our road trip. Pit stop number one, we begin on a bit of a side road. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, the pit stop number one is we stop there, and God showed me this a long time ago, that a one-man office can only do the work of one man. I found it interesting in verse 2, they made it a point, the writer, John, to say that it wasn't Jesus that was baptizing, it was actually his disciples. And why would he do that? Well, you remember back in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses was getting overburdened with being the judge of Israel, and his father-in-law said to him, "Listen to me, and I will give you some advice. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." And if you remember, in the last chapter, Jesus took his disciples and he discipled them, took them alone by himself, and he put some work into them, as so to speak. And remember, the disciples, they didn't have years of training like many people now will go to missionary school or seminary, and you know, but they didn't have years of training. They had days of training. Jesus, right from the beginning, was preparing his disciples for his departure. That is what a true leader does. He puts the responsibility and the work upon others, just as Jethro told Moses to do. I remember a time when I was only 19. I was a young man, and I got promoted to kitchen manager at a restaurant down in Florida, and it was important to me that everything got done right. And of course, being done right meant doing it my way. Don't act like that's not how you feel too. But for me, you know, it was hard to entrust other people to do it because it wasn't getting done exactly the way I do it. And so I ended up pretty much doing a lot of people's work as the manager, and I really shouldn't have. It was a lesson I needed to learn. And so that's what Jesus is doing here. He's kind of spreading out his work already amongst his disciples. In Acts chapter 6, Peter had the same problem. He wrote, the 12 all... Acts, so that'd be Luke. Luke wrote this. So the 12 gathered all of the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are, listen, known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn the responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So here the disciples were busy doing the menial jobs, and I put menial in air quotes because there are no menial jobs when you work for God. But the point they were trying to get to here is that we need to focus on ministering the word of God to people and not doing all the little things. So they were told to find men who are full of spirit and wisdom. And what's interesting is they were told to find these men that were full of spirit and wisdom, and women. It wasn't just men, but even though it said men, but you know how it is in the Bible. They say men a lot, but it goes both ways. Anyway, that's not the point. The point here is simple, that they were trying to find men and women to do the, quote, menial jobs among the people, and yet they had to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. You see, it wasn't just for teaching and preaching and ministering the word that people had. You need to be filled with the Spirit and wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do anything for the Lord. Otherwise, you're just doing it in the flesh, and there lies the problems. So they needed people to, quote, wait on tables, and they needed people to preach and minister the word of God. Every servant and service to God requires the fullness of the Spirit within them. You know, in most churches, 90% of the people just kind of watch and 10% of them do the work. And it's like that in most things. I know women who We've been in the children's ministry so many weeks in a row that they haven't been into a service for months because nobody else has stepped forward to work with the children. We have to split these ministries and these duties. One of the cutest explanations I've ever heard of it is the definition of football. Have you ever heard this one? Football is 22 men in desperate need of rest and 70,000 in desperate need of exercise. And this isn't just in regards to ministry. You know, moms, you get overwhelmed with the responsibilities of the house. Get your kids involved. Make it a game. Make it fun. Maybe you're overworked at your job. Well, trust your employees, your fellow coworkers. I remember the day I became trusted by my manager and I got handed a key to the business. I wanted to prove them right. I wanted to prove them that they could trust me and that they're not making a mistake. And it, people don't grow unless you put your trust in them. And when it comes to ministry, take it from me, you cannot do it all. But this church was so focused on ministry that, I'm talking about the church I used to be in. And, you can't do both if you get tied up doing the little things. And again, nothing's little in the Lord. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, remember this, PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, pray, encourage, call, ask, note. PECAN, pray, this is what you can do. Maybe you don't feel like you have skills, you can pray. E, you can encourage. C, you can call somebody. A, you can ask how they're doing, if they can, if there's anything you can do for them. And N, note, drop them a note. PECAN, pray, encourage, call, ask, note. Because listen, most of you are nuts anyway. So the devil is always trying to tell people that they're not making a difference. You know, you've heard the voices. And if you're not serving God today, Christian, I've got to ask why. Consider this, and we'll close with these last couple of scriptures here. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Do you understand what that means? That means God's eyes are forever ranging around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for people that are committed to him. And in Job 1:7, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. So you see, the devil is doing the same thing, only he's not looking for people to bless. He's looking for people to curse and to discourage. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord with your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And I'm going to break that scripture down real quick as we close here. What does the Lord ask of you? He says, do you fear God? Yes. Then walk in his ways. He says to love him. And if you love him, what's left? He says to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So if you fear God, walk in his ways. If you love him, serve him. And remember, it's not about your ability. It's about your availability. I know that's a worn statement, but it's so true. So on this road trip that we're taking, the first side road we took was one of complacency, of status quo, of settling into where we've been. But now we want to pull into the cross. We want to kneel before the Master. And like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We pull in to the cross and we get a new direction. God changes our attitude and we receive our marching orders according to our gifts and our talents and our passion. That's GPS, guiding you where you need to go. The GPS of Scripture is gifts, talents, passion. Discover your gifts, discover your passion, and then serve the Lord. And that is what we're doing here. Join us again tomorrow as we pick it up again in verse 4 of John chapter 4. Well, God bless you. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you over at the Washing Word in the Powell Shopping Center. Have a blessed day.